to explore a refreshing mix of old and new, and to get inspired by a city that takes nature seriously, I recommend you plan to spend some time in Stockholm. And while Sweden is especially nice in the summertime, there's really plenty to take in Stockholm any time of year. Joining us right now on Travel with Rick Steves to share the high points of her hometown is tour guide Åsa Danielsson. Åsa, thank you for being with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Now, you just bicycle to work in Stockholm and show groups around and tourists around your great city, the capital of Sweden.
Yes, I do.
If you were to say which is the grandest city of Scandinavia, the dominant city of Scandinavia, what would you say and why?
Well, of course, I have to say Stockholm.
You're biased. Okay, what's so great about Stockholm?
Well, I do love Oslo and Copenhagen, but Stockholm is so beautiful. It's really beautiful. It has one-third of the size is water, and another third of the size is green areas. So it's a very, very beautiful city.
It is a beautiful mix of water and green and architecture.
Yes, exactly.
And Stockholm has an interesting design because it's kind of where the lake hits the sea, isn't it? How does that work?
Exactly. One of the biggest lakes in Sweden, it flows into the Baltic Sea. So these two waters, they meet in Stockholm.
And now historically, there's a reason people would come together here because of trade, right?
Yes, exactly. The first capital of Sweden was on the lake.
On the lake.
Exactly, on the Lake Mälaren, further into the lake. There were all these trade going on and people were coming in by boat.
Lumber and animal skins and food and whatever coming from the inland along the lake.
Exactly.
And then they got to get down to the sea so they could trade away.
Exactly.
All right. Now, last time I was in Stockholm, I was so impressed by this Lake Mälaren because it seems to be a park where people go just to have a good time. Describe the beautiful restaurants and coffee shops and cocktail bars and so on along the lake in the early evening.
Yes, it's a favorite. Along the waterline in Stockholm, there are plenty of places where you can just sit and watch the sun dawn and just sit right next to the water or sometimes in the water on these floating restaurants and bars.
And this is freshwater.
This is freshwater.
I think most of the tourists are looking at the saltwater harborfront of Stockholm, but the inland on the lake, that seems to be sort of a place for the Stockholmers.
Exactly, exactly. That's where we meet, especially during summer.
Now, and when you meet with your friends in one of these bars, everybody's having, what's the popular drink? I can see the sun glinting through it. It's sort of a rosé.
Rosé wine, yes.
It's a rosé,
isn't it? That's the trendy drink in Stockholm at the moment, yes.
It's like all these sparkling rosé glasses there with the sun setting and these beautiful Swedish people having a great time after a long day of work.
Exactly. And there are little blankets if it gets a little bit chilly, so you can wrap them around you. And it's just a fantastic way to spend your time,
evening. So you're outdoors even if it's cold.
Always. We love being outdoors. Swedes are obsessed by being outdoors all the year round, but especially during summertime.
And when you do get summer, then everybody's out sunbathing.
Yes. Oh, yes. It's a sin to be indoors if it's good weather.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're speaking with Åsa Danielsson about Stockholm, the capital of Sweden. Åsa, let's take a walk through Stockholm, because I got to say, I'm Norwegian, and I love Oslo, and I love Copenhagen, too. But if I had to live somewhere in Scandinavia, I think I'd live in Stockholm. It's just such a grand city. It's such a people-friendly city. It's got that wonderful mix. And I like the history. Let's start in the old town. What's the Swedish word for old town?
Gamla stan.
On an island, and right at the top of the island is the old square.
Yes.
Literally.
Stortorget, yes.
That's the literal word, old square, Stortorget.
Stortorget. No, big square, it's actually.
Oh, store is big.
Yes.
Okay, so it's the big square in the old town.
The one and only, the first one.
Stortorget, big square in the Gamla stan, old town.
Exactly.
I'm learning Swedish.
Yes.
Okay. Now we're standing on Stortorget, and you look around, and you see many things that remind you of what Swedish history and culture is all about. What would you see?
Yes, you would see these beautiful facades painted in different colors. The old town, it's where the history of Stockholm started.
Because you had a massacre right there on that square.
Yes, that was a little bit later. It started, the history of Stockholm starts in the 1200s.
Okay.
And then the massacre, the bloodbath of Stockholm was in the 1500s.
Oh, so that was relatively modern times, I guess.
Yeah,
in American terms, I thought 1500 was old. Okay, you started at 800 years ago. Yeah. 500 years ago, there was this horrible massacre where, in a nutshell, tell me what happened in this massacre.
Well, this was the times when Sweden was in union with Norway and Denmark under a Danish king.
So
this was voluntarily. They were not occupying us. This is very important.
Okay.
We had signed an agreement. Okay, 1397. So this was according to that agreement. But a lot of people, and especially the noblemen, they were against this union. So when the Danish king came to Stockholm, well, what happened was that he invited everyone to a party, grand party, in the big castle. And he said, I'll forgive all of you, you're rebels. Come and join me. And then what happened was that after the party, they were all brought to Stortorget, the main square, and then all the entrances were locked down and they were beheaded.
So all the Rockefellers and Kennedys and big names in Swedish culture, the Danish king decided let's just kill them all.
Well, the story is of course a little bit more complicated than that. It's not actually just, you know, the Danish evil people.
Okay, but it is nobility against royalty, I suppose.
It's some of the noblemen.
Yeah.
There were other noblemen that wanted to be in union. So that's why it's
also on the square you see the Nobel Museum.
Exactly. And the Swedish Academy, which is the institution that selects who will receive the Nobel Prize in Literature every year.
And that's a beautiful museum.
It's a beautiful museum. And there you can know everything about Alfred Nobel,
right,
who is the reason why we celebrate this award.
He made all of his money inventing dynamite or something
Like
this.
Dynamite.
Yeah. So he wanted to have a more friendly legacy, I think, and
have
the Nobel Prize and so on. Yeah. Okay, from Stortorget, we will walk over to the Royal Palace.
Yes.
And one of my favorite things about Stockholm is the pageantry, the Swedish pageantry, all the marching bands and the changing of the guard. And it's one of the great changing of the guards in all of Europe is right there.
Yes, it's one of the oldest. It's also started in the 1500s.
Okay.
So it's been going on there for every single day since the 1500s. And every single day they have a change of guards.
And you have, I didn't realize it until recently, but you've got all these soldiers that are just really spirited. And I learned, and tell me if this is correct, these are soldiers from the countryside of Sweden that are coming into Stockholm. And they want to do a good job because this is a big deal for them, just like it's a big deal for all the tourists that gather around to see them.
Yes, it's a big honor. Yeah. And it's the different sections in the Swedish military, they all contribute. So you will see that they wear different clothes every day, and there's a different procession every day. Sometimes there are horses, sometimes there's a band.
I just feel like a little kid when the horses and the band is marching through the town every day up to the castle where they have the changing of the guard, and you'll be caught up in that when you're visiting. Also, when we think about the military of Sweden today, we don't think of Sweden as a military power, but in its day, it was a superpower, and it threatened much of Europe. And who was the great king?
Gustavus Adolphus. Yes, yes.
Wow. And then you can go to the armory right there in the Royal Palace, and I tell you, that is one of the great armories in all of Europe.
Yes. They say that they are the oldest museum in Sweden, but some even claim it's one of the oldest museums in the world. It was actually Gustavus Adolphus himself who donated some of his clothes and armory and said, the people in the future must see my armory.
Really? You see the power.
So this was from the 1600s this was decided, that all the royal clothes and armors should be kept for the future. So it's a museum from the 1600s.
And that was established by Gustavus Adolphus, but I remember just seeing all of the beautiful gowns and crowns and armor and everything, even armor for the horses and armor for the children and toys for the royal children.
Yes, everything you can think of in royal life.
And also the horse that he was riding when he was shot.
Exactly.
That armor is there.
Exactly.
Oh, what a story. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're in Sweden right now in the capital, Stockholm. We're talking with Åsa Danielsson about her great city. When you walk across the bridge from the old town, you see a lot of people fishing.
Yes, that's true. Since the 1600s,
right,
we have been
able
to fish in the middle of this big city, and you can get salmon and you can all kinds of fish.
It's love that.
It's just a proof that just how clean the waters are in Stockholm, you can actually not just fish, you can also eat the fish.
And how people-oriented it is. I mean, you step across the bridge and you get to Kungsträdgården, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that literally the king's garden.
Yes.
But now the king's garden is actually emphatically the people's garden.
Yes, yes. It has been changing faces many times through the centuries. But today, this is one of the main gathering points in Stockholm. This is where a lot of young people meeting point.
I feel like that's a meeting place, and you can kind of get the sense of what's happening with the young crowd in Stockholm. Åsa, from the King's Square, it seems to me you can turn left and go over to Sergelstorg and Drottningsgatan, where you've got all the shopping.
Exactly, the commercial center, yes.
And then across the street, the big department store. What's the name of the big department store?
NK, which means NK, in the Nordic company.
Nordic company. Is that, that's what that means?
That's what it means, yes.
I thought it means no more kroner.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it as well. Yeah.
But when you go in there, you can really get a sense of feeling the pulse of what's going on commercially in Sweden.
Yes, you can. And you've got all kinds of, you know, Swedish design, interior design, Swedish fashion.
And
very
nice. If you turn to the right and you walk along, you get over to the Djurgården. And this would be the Royal Hunting Grounds? Is that what
yes.
it was originally?
Yes, you will walk along the shore among one of the most beautiful and most exclusive streets in Stockholm, Strandvägen, the shore.
So these
shore
are very fancy
avenue.
Condominiums for the wealthy people,
exactly.
I think.
Exactly. Famous and rich people live there, more than 20 rooms in
and
a
then
flat.
Was it just coincidence, or I saw all of these old boats moored along the Strandvägen?
Yes, yes.
Is it a place where people can put old boats?
Yes, you can have your boat there, and there are a few people that live on there are boats.
And there's some beautiful historic boats. You cross the bridge, and then you've got the old hunting ground is a collection of great sites, some of the greatest museums.
Yes.
There's three great museums. Talk about these museums.
Okay. The first thing that we'll see when we cross the bridge is the Nordic Museum.
Yeah.
And that's a museum dedicated to Swedish culture and tradition.
And it lets you go all over the country, really, because if you're interested in Lapp culture, there's even a Lapp exhibit there.
Exactly, the Samis.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
And then behind that, we have the number one museum in Stockholm, which is the Vasa Museum with the ship.
Now, this is the greatest warship of its day, right?
Exactly.
What year was it from, basically? How old is it?
1628.
Okay. And on its maiden voyage?
Yes.
Crashed
what
into
happened?
The harbor. What happened?
It sailed for approximately 20 minutes. This beautiful, fantastic, decorated warship that everyone was out there in the shores just looking at these amazing
places. Why did it sink?
Well, that's a thing that they've been studying for a long time. There's a combination of little problems.
Perfect storm of little problems, huh?
Exactly. It was just a little bit too powerful and a little bit too narrow to have so many cannons. It had 64 cannons.
It had an extra row of cannons on the top, so it was a little bit top heavy.
Exactly.
My hunch is all the sailors ran to one side and waved goodbye to their loved ones.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's a factor as well.
But whatever the case is, 300 years ago or something, it sank to the harbor and just in the last generation brought up, preserved beautifully.
333 years, at the bottom of the
sea.
That
is a unique sight in Europe.
And the thing is, it's so well preserved because of the special water in Stockholm, because it's so much fresh water that flows into the seawater. So the little ship worm that destroys all these old ships. They cannot live there.
No, okay.
Exactly. That's
and
why.
Consequently, you've got this, like, if it's a coin, you'd call it uncirculated. You know, it's just perfect.
Yes.
And
it's
all the carvings and everything.
You have in the world.
And then across the street and down a little bit, we got Skansen, which is the
Skansen.
Open Air Folk Museum.
Yes, it's one of my favorites. I love it because it is like a miniature Sweden. Inside you have original buildings from all over the country that have been moved.
Right
stone
there.
By stone and log by log. So it's not pretend, it's real buildings from 7 centuries.
And not just buildings, the furnishings.
Exactly,
and
interiors
people.
And people dressed in authentic clothes and doing the task that correspond to what they're showing. So we have schools,
perfect.
We have manor houses, we have working class families and everything. You can literally be transported to the past of everyday life in Sweden.
You know, I think it inspired a lot of other countries to make an open-air folk museum just like this.
Because this was number one, and it's still the biggest one. So people come from all over the world to study how you can present everyday life in the past.
That is great. That's called Skansen, Skansen. I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. I'm talking with Åsa Danielsson. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And April is calling in from Roseville, California. April, thanks for your call.
Thanks, Rick.
Do you have a comment or a little insight on Stockholm that you can share?
I've visited Stockholm at least twice, and you've talked about so many places that my husband and I have come to enjoy and appreciate. And I've also wanted to mention that if you had the time to take a harbor or a ferry boat out to Vaxholm and explore the little parts away from the big city and enjoy the people on the ferry boat, especially in summertime when the shrimp are in season and everybody is eating them on the boat.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
That's a favorite, yeah.
Åsa, tell us about eating shrimp and exploring the archipelago. Stockholm has a famous archipelago.
Oh, yes. The archipelago of Stockholm has approximately 30,000 islands and islets. So it's a paradise. It's a summer paradise. And these shrimp cruises, they're all about you pay an amount of money and then you can go on these beautiful old boats, about 100 years old, and steamboats. And then you
and
go
eat
out.
Shrimp?
Yes,
and
you
watch
can eat
the islands.
And the shrimps are new; they're fresh, and you can eat as much as you want. So,
it's all you can eat shrimp feast while you're looking at some of these beautiful islands.
Yes,
is that what you did, April?
We didn't eat them. The shrimp are a little different than we're expecting from here in the States because they leave all the heads and the feet on.
Oh yeah,
you have to peel them yourself. That's how they taste the best. But it's a little bit. It takes a little bit of time.
It's a fun time.
Yes,
but. Of anything is to enjoy the people, get out and talk with the people, whether you speak Swedish or not. People are so kind, and they want to know you as much as you want to know them.
Well, that's great to hear.
And I think the language barrier in Sweden is about as small as anywhere, because I think nearly any young or educated Swedish person will speak some English.
Even the older generation, everyone wants to speak English.
Okay.
They don't just do it. They want to do it. They.
So if you're a tourist, you can expect that people are happy to talk to you.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
April, you know, you went out to Vaxholm, which is like the nearest sort of town, I think, in the archipelago. There's three ways you can do your harbor exploration. You can take a tour boat in the actual town and visit all the different islands and go under the bridges, which is nice. You can go out to Vaxholm, which is like a short side trip to the nearest town in the islands. Or you can take a cruise all the way to the far through the archipelago with a ferry. And these ferries stop at every little town and hamlet and every park. And if you even have a house with a dock, I think you can raise your flag and the boat will stop there and toss
exactly.
your mail in or whatever.
Yes.
Åsa, give us some tip about exploring the archipelago in general.
Oh, there are many ways, as you say. There are so many islands and so many options. If you have some time, you can go on one of these boats and you can actually stay the night in one of those little beautiful fisher villages out there. Or you could take a day trip. There are islands literally starting up just at the outskirts of Stockholm and then basically all the way to Finland. So you can just decide how much time you want to spend. The further you get, the more exotic, the more barren it will become, and the closer you get to the real archipelago culture.
Yeah, and you say exotic, and you know, it really does feel exotic when you get to the far end of the archipelago.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
April, thanks for your call.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yep, thank you very much, April.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Your calls for Åsa Danielsson about Stockholm are coming right up on Travel with Rick Steves. We're at 877-333-7425. Or share your favorite things about Stockholm in our website message boards. You can post your travel tips in the radio section of ricksteves.com.